Tens of thousands rallied for immigrant rights in Chicago and in other major U.S. cities, a show of support for a one-day national boycott aimed at winning legal rights for millions of undocumented immigrants. Early reports suggested many of the estimated 11.5 to 12 million illegal immigrants in the country were obeying a call to stay away from work and boycott businesses, despite a mixed message from immigrant rights organizations, some of which opposed the action. Some U.S. businesses said they had to shut down voluntarily to avoid disruption. The marches were provoked by a bill passed by the House of Representatives last December that would make all illegal immigrants felons. Recent polls suggest a majority of Americans would support legislation being debated in the Senate that would allow many illegal immigrants to join a legal guest worker program and later apply for citizenship. Deborah Luderbeck, Reuters.
Biggest May Day rally turnouts were in Indonesia. Tens of thousands brought Jakarta to a standstill in protest over plans to change labor laws, which employers here say give workers too many rights. In the Philippines, anti-riot police showed a strong presence, anxious to head off a repeat of the 2001 May Day storming of the presidential palace.
Let them
Similar rallies were witnessed around the globe, including Iran, where demonstrators demanded a change to short-term contracts. In Russia, tens of thousands of groups, including communists, liberals, and human rights activists, went on the march in Moscow to mark the day. In Turkey, clashes erupted in Istanbul between leftists and Kurds, and in the city of Izmir. Chapman reports.
Of Americans on the march in Washington demanding the Bush administration end the killing in Sudan. An array of famous speakers urged world leaders to stop the genocide in the Darfur region.
It's the capital, the world's capital of human suffering. And therefore we are here to alleviate that suffering and tell the victims they are not alone, that we are with them, we think of them, we want to help them.
Actor George Clooney added his considerable star power to the call to action.
We are at the doorstep of something we thought was impossible to dream of in the 21st century. Turn our heads and look away and hope that it'll all disappear, then they will. All of them. An entire generation of people.
The actor and his father recently returned from a fact-finding trip to Darfur. There, it's reported Sudanese government forces launched new airstrikes against villages, displacing thousands, as mediators in Nigeria gave all sides 2 more days to conclude peace talks. Susan Flory, Reuters. People were arrested in Berlin when street parties ended in scuffles between the crowd and police. Several people were also injured. Around 900 had gathered for a concert. The police moved in when it was over after some of the crowd started getting rowdy. Parts of Berlin have become an annual stage for disturbances ahead of May Day, despite extensive prevention efforts by police. Some 2,000 officers were involved in containing this year's violence, many in so-called de-escalation teams. According to legend, the eve of May Day in Germany is a night witches gather to celebrate the arrival of spring. In pagan times, the event was marked with nighttime bonfires. Michel Kalal Al-Khoury, Reuters.
Boyd Scott is unlikely to win speed awards for his athletic performance in the London Marathon. He crossed the finish line 8 days and 13 minutes after the race began, resplendent in a full 45-kilo suit of armour and his own personal dragon in tow. But Scott's carved out his name as one of the people to help propel Olympic gold medalist oarsman Sir Steve Redgrave into the record books for individual fundraising.
He liked it really that we've together with Steve, we managed to break the record.
With Scott's help, Redgrave has raised over $3.3 million for charity. Redgrave says it's part of a 5-year plan to generate $9
million. Raised money and helped about over 400 charities in that time period, and it's been a lot of fun.
For Scott, a helping hand out of his ancient athletics gear is worth its weight in gold. Paul Chapman, Reuters. Workers on the march for justice in India, where their trade is illegal. Thousands turned out in Kolkata for a Labor Day rally to fight their corner in a nation where they suffer abuse from clients and police. Women's rights groups have battled for nearly a decade to ease the sex workers' plight. So far, their efforts have fallen on deaf ears.
We want to be recognized as workers. We should have the same rights as any other workers who provide a service to the people.
Sex workers is dangerous and fraught with discrimination. Many are pushed into prostitution by traffickers or poverty, and thousands are smuggled into the country as sex slaves. The children of prostitutes are routinely refused entry to schools or jobs. The Indian government is adding to their problems with plans to punish those who visit brothels, a move the sex workers say will make their lives even harder. Paul Chapman, Reuters.
In Cyprus to draw attention to the battle against breast cancer and beat a world record. Bra by bra, over 9 hours of painstaking effort, cancer campaigners clipped and pinned together tens of thousands of the breast controllers, creating the longest chain of its kind.
This is the last bra in the chain.
In the end, there were 115,000 bras in the chain, easily pushing aside the record 79,000 set in Singapore a few years ago.
The whole world has come to help in this campaign. I think every single person now in Cyprus is talking about breast cancer, and they are aware of the importance of early screening and early detection.
It was a colorful display that was hard to miss. So too the message that screening can mean survival. Breast cancer kills 400,000 women every year. Susan Flory, Reuters. Death-defying feat. He'll spend a week living in a huge fishbowl at New York's Lincoln Center, a stunt inspired by his admiration for escapologist Harry Houdini and his love of water.
That's my favorite thing in the world. So the idea of creating an aquarium that was a sphere and putting it in the middle of New York is more than anything I could have ever dreamed for in my entire life, so I feel very lucky about that.
Among the risks, hypothermia, blacking out, nerve damage and skin problems. And unlike fish, he'll have to keep himself entertained without the help of a 3-second memory. In the dramatic finale, Blaine will attempt to set a new world record. He'll have to hold his breath underwater for nearly 9 minutes while escaping from 150 pounds of chains. Blaine is hoping for a kinder reception in his hometown during a starvation stunt in London. Passers-by threw eggs at him and banged drums to keep him awake. Chelsea Edwards, Reuters.
Iraqi leadership strives to form a unity government. President George W. Bush is lending his support.
We believe this is a turning point for the Iraqi citizens, and it's a new chapter in our partnership. The secretaries began building this new partnership during their trip. In other words, the Iraqi leaders saw that we are committed to helping them succeed.
Those remarks come 3 years to the day since President Bush declared the end of major combat operations in the brief campaign to invade Iraq and overthrow Saddam Hussein. What followed was a sustained and bloody insurgency that continues to belie the mission accomplished banner that formed the backdrop for Bush's remarks that day. Milton Gorst is the author of Storm from the East, the struggle between the Arab world and the Christian West.
President Bush, because we were able to conquer Baghdad in, 10 days or something of that sort, very, very quickly, seemed to think that that was it. But he didn't realize what was in store, that he didn't win over these people when he did that. And he gave them no reason to think that life was getting any better under American rule, and it didn't, alas. And so it didn't take very long before this traditional, old-fashioned, hit-and-run guerrilla warfare where you could kill and hide began to dominate the scene. And our army, which is marvelous in terms of tanks and guns and artillery, wasn't very good in handling this kind of warfare, which was totally unaccustomed.
At least 73 U.S. troops were killed in April, their costliest month since November. Bjors recounts a warning given to Bush by French President Jacques Chirac.
When President Chirac of France told President Bush during one of his meetings that he, as a young soldier in Algeria in the 1960s, understood the meaning of Arab nationalism, and don't deceive yourself, Mr. President, even though you went out on this aircraft carrier and pronounced mission accomplished. There is a great deal of reserve that the Arabs are able to pull up when they want to, and they have done that.
Key to Americans going home, U.S. leaders say, is training Iraqis to take over fighting guerrillas, a goal once again cast into question after hundreds of Sunni Arab recruits on Monday joined a protest at a graduation parade, saying they did not want to be posted outside their hometown. Back in Washington, some leading Democrats are calling for Iraq to be divided, Bosnian style, into three largely autonomous Shiite, Sunni, and Kurdish regions, with a weaker central government controlling the highly mixed city of Baghdad. But many Iraqi and foreign analysts argue that an attempt to divide the oil-rich nation would bring its own problems and could provoke rather than hinder a civil war. Yours says the key to success in Iraq will not come from overseas.
The one thing that Arabs insist upon at this stage of history is a right to determine their own destiny. They don't want to be, they don't want Americans, they don't want Condi Rice or anybody else looking. looking over their shoulder. They want this to be an Arab solution. And I think it's possible.
Washington still has 133,000 troops in Iraq, suffering daily casualties. An as yet unnamed soldier who was killed by a roadside bomb near Baghdad on Saturday brought the number of Americans killed in uniform in Iraq to 2,400. Deborah Luderbeck, Reuters.